This shiur, Parashat Vayichi, is Lidui Nishmat Rav Pinchas Ben Rav Ruvein HaKohen Zal. We hope that the neshama will have an aliyah based on the Torah that we learned today.
Amen.
No one heard you.
No.
Okay, nice to see you all. It's a nice night to be someplace. I'm not sure if this is the place. Okay, so what I wanted to discuss was Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe, as you know, were the children of Yosef. The children of Yosef that were born in Egypt. The children of Yosef that were born in Egypt. That itself is the beginning of a remarkable story, because if you think about it, how Jewish could Ephraim and Menashe be? We could all think about examples of people that we know who came from one place to another, who didn't have a Jewish community to attach to. It's very hard for children growing up and their parents telling them, no, you're Jewish, you know, where they have no connection at all to being Jewish. That remains a kind of a problem. So who were Ephraim and Menashe? I mean, we don't really know. But we do know that they were given great honor by Yaakov. Yaakov, the father of Yosef, the grandfather of Ephraim and Menashe, gave them significant honor, right? And so let's learn the psukim first, some of the psukim, which will get us involved in this story. The first source on the page, Vayhi Achrei HaDvarim HaEileh. And there's a, like, that's sort of like the Torah saying there's a continuing story. That there was some story before about Yosef and Yaakov, and Yaakov, where Yaakov would direct Yosef to bury him. Right? That kind of story. This is Vayhi Achar HaDvarim HaEileh, after those things, Vayom El Yosef, and Yosef received the message, Hinei avicha chole, your father is sick, which meant that they thought that the medicine of that time was pretty confident that he, the father Yaakov, would be dying. Rashi says, Vayomru li Yosef. You see that Rashi next to the Chumash. Achad min ha-magidim. One of the people whose job it is, it was apparently a job, to tell stories or to keep you up on current events. I mean, they didn't have Ynet or anything similar to that. So somebody had to actually tell you what was going on. V'harei ze mikra katzar. Harei ze mikra katzar. Mikra katzar means a shortened pasuk. Shortened, meaning there are words missing. But you could kind of put them in on your own. Right? Vayom el Yosef. And he said to Yosef. What it doesn't say is who he is. Right? So that's a mikra katzar. There's something missing in the pasuk. Now, that's either something very important or not so important. Let's see what Rashi says. V'yeshomrim, Ephraim ayaragil lifnei Yaakov betalmud. The Yeshomrim, there are those who say, the Chazal, right? Rashi is always talking about Chazal, how they saw it, what tradition they might have had. So what did they say? What did Chazal say? Chazal said, ayaragil lifnei Yaakov betalmud, that Ephraim would go to learn with his grandfather, which is something that today is not uncommon, right? Children learning with their grandparents. Ukeshechala Yaakov Beretz Goshen, when Yaakov got sick and they were worried about him, Halach Ephraim Eitzel Aviv LeMitzrayim VeGidlo. So Ephraim was learning with Yaakov in the land called Goshen. And according to this Rashi, Goshen and Mitzrayim are not really the same. What sort of principality Goshen was, we don't know, but it was the place that the Jews found themselves. And one of the reasons for being in Goshen is because they were not given to the influence of the Egyptians who were in Mitzrayim. Now it's true that the Jews became slaves. Slaves means the lack of free will, right? You could only do what they tell you to do. But they still seem to have had some kind of independence in Goshen, when they lived in Goshen. And you know, at the end of last week's parasha, it says that Bnei Yisrael, it says the phrase, Vayechezu Bach. They grabbed onto it. They grabbed onto the land of Goshen. They were the primary community in that land. So here we have a picture. I have a picture, a very positive picture. Ephraim wants to learn Torah. Who does he go? His father is busy. Like most fathers are busy. So he goes to his grandfather, who's not busy. But grandfather has a lot of free time. So the introduction that we get, okay, the topic, what he came to speak about was that his grandfather was sick. So he ran to his father to tell him, because, that's how it should be. But as a background to the story of Ephraim and Manasseh, what Rashi is telling us is that Ephraim was a real Jew. He was the kind of Jew that Rashi himself would appreciate. How do you know? Well, he knows because that's what the tradition of Chazal taught him. That's what Rashi says. But the technical entree of Chazal into this idea was the fact that there's something missing in the pasuk, right? That's like you have these stages, right? You have these stages. Now let's look on. I'm sorry. Back to the pasuk. V'yobli Yosef inei avicha choleh. Inei avicha choleh. Then vayikach. The next word is vayikach, right? Vayikach zei ben avimo. He took his children, Menashe v'et Ephraim, and he said, "Let's go, let's go, because my father is dying. My father, your grandfather is dying, and we have some business to settle. Well, there's something we have to do." Now we think bracha is a good thing, but if I try to go back in time, what exactly was Yosef interested in? What was Yosef missing? I mean, Yosef was the king of the world. He was the primary economic advisor to Paro. He had purchased all of the land of Mitzrayim for the king. I mean, he was an economic whiz. I mean, what bracha was he looking for that Yaakov would have a bracha for his grandsons? What did Yosef think that they were going to get? But that's what Rashi says. That Yaakov should bless them before he dies. The next pasuk bet. Veged Yaakov ayomer inei bincha Yosef ba elecha vayitchazek Yisrael vayeshev al habita. So when he came, Yaakov, somebody told Yaakov, your son Yosef has come to see you. Rashi, Vayaged, Hamagid Liyakov, the Magid he mentioned before. Right? In other words, this Magid, if you know, if you remember all of Rashi and the Chumash, you should remember, you know that Rashi, very often, when there is, when there's a nameless person, he gives him a name. He tells you who he is. When Avram Avinu went with Yitzchak and Shnei HaNe'arim and two young or youths went along with him, so Rashi says Eliezer and
Yishmael.
Eliezer and Yishmael. So of course the question is, what did Rashi think? But the Torah says they don't have a name. How could you say they do have a name? Okay, he got it from Chazal. That they have a name. But if they have a name, why did the Torah give them a name? So you have to remember that sometimes people who have a name don't have a function in this particular case. And sometimes people who don't have a name really don't have a name. They really don't have any. They're just there. So here you have a case where there's a magid. A magid is somebody who doesn't have a name and doesn't really have a job. He's just doing something perfunctory. He's telling Yaakov who came in, who went out. So that's a person who is not going to have a name ever. Whereas Yishmael and Eliezer, they have names, but in Akedat Yitzchak, they have no function. They're out as the Avraham and Yitzchak go up on the mountain, and Eliezer and Yishmael are left behind. They're truly left behind. I mean, they came along for the ride, but they were not able to integrate themselves into the story. They have no role in the story of Akedat Yitzchak. Okay? So here we have a Magid. And the Magid tells us things, but we don't know who he is. The end of that Pasuk is Vayitchazek Yisrael Vayeshev Al HaMita. Yisrael, you know, in an act, having spent some time in a hospital recently, need to do that. You know, you like to prove that you're still alive. And you got to pick yourself up and do whatever it is you could do. So Yaakov, who was on the verge of death, because that's why Yosef and his sons came, Yaakov was on the verge of death. Vayitchazek, but he grabbed onto himself, Vayitchazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al hamita, and he sat on the bed, instead of, I guess, lying on the bed. So what does Rashi say? Right, Chazek Yisrael. Right, Amar. Yisrael said, according to Rashi, Avo Pishu Bini, even though he is my son, Melechu, Vachlok Lo Kavod, he is nevertheless a king. And therefore I will give him the honor that the king deserves. Mikan, Shecholchim Kavod Lemalchut, from this we learn that it's reasonable to give honor to kingship, not Jewish kingship. Kingship is apparently on some level a universal idea. So if there is a king, you should give him honor. You should make a bracha as how we do that. V'chein Moshe chalak kavod lemalchut. This is, he brings several examples. I don't want to get into them because they would take us far afield. But this is where we learn, Rashi says this often, that there's something, even though it took place before the Torah was given, and we know that all the mitzvot that we do derive from the time of Har Sinai, not before Har Sinai. Right? The primary example for this is, of course, Brit Milah. Whereas, even though the Brit Milah was done in the family of Avram Avinu long before Matan Torah, nevertheless, the Rambam says and you know, and it's generally agreed that we do the mitzvah of milah because at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do the mitzvah of milah, and not because it was a separate command for Avraham. Now, this is an interesting idea, but you have to think about it.
When you talk about the bracha for a king, didn't you want to make a bracha for the duke?
Which duke?
Duke of Edinburgh. Didn't you want to make a bracha for him?
Where are you from? How could you know that?
Because you told the story in Lincoln Square Synagogue.
I did?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh. You thought you were going to make a bracha.
I know
for
I shouldn't
Schneider.
Go there. No, the story was, since you disturbed my trend of thought, the story was that in England, in Bournemouth, I was there for a Shabbos. I was there for Shabbos. The shul, there were a lot of Jews in the shul, because Bournemouth became a kind of vacation place. And people used to go there for Shabbos. And so anyway, I was there. And so, in the English manner, some guy looking very serious comes over to me and he says, "Rabbi, we understand you're a rabbi. Would you like to be the rabbi for Shabbat?" Because they didn't have a rabbi. There's no rabbi in the shul. We like to be rabbi in Shabbat. So, because I was young and enthusiastic, I would not make that mistake again. I said, okay, what would you like me to do? You like me to teach something out of the parasha? You like me to teach something out of halacha? He says, "No, rabbi. We need you to say the blessing for the king." Which in English shuls is a big deal. It was like somebody gets up, and in some shuls, even wearing the trappings of an English minister, a fancy hat, and he says the blessing, which is printed in the Siddur, the blessing for the king. Now, the king has a family. So I said, "Listen, I'm from Brooklyn. It's not going to come out right." "No, Rabbi. It's fine. We're like very modern. We know about Brooklyn. We know where it is." I said, I knew already that it was a mistake. So when I got to the Duke of Edinburgh in the list of people that I was supposed to bless, it came in my mind, the only thing I could think of was Duke Snyder, which was the wrong thing to think about. So the pronunciation in England, in Bournemouth, was, I can't even imagine what those English people would have thought at that moment, but that's what happened. So I blessed the Duke Snyder instead of blessing the Duke of Edinburgh. So that's the story. That's the story. Not a bad story. Okay. So Rashi sometimes tells us that there are halachot embedded in the text of the Torah, even though we don't really learn it from there. But we learned it from a tradition that started at Har Sinai. Right? So that's what Rashi says. He says, Pasuk Dalet, drop the Pasuk Dalet. Vayome elayinim afrecha v'biticha v'taticha lekal amim v'natati et ha'aretz hazot lezarecha acharecha achuzat olam. So there you have it. This Pasuk, remember this Pasuk. Even if you don't remember any others, remember this. Vayome elay. I'm sorry, I skipped the pasuk. The pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef el Shaddai nerai lai beluz beretz Kanan vayivarech oti. So Yaakov says to Yosef, right? El Shaddai refers to power. It's one of the names of God. It refers to the powerfulness. nira'a elai beluz be'eretz Kenan, vayivarech oti, when I was leaving Eretz Yisrael, God came and blessed me. Now what does that mean? I mean, what are we supposed to think? That God, I mean, something we're supposed to think. There's no doubt about that. What would you think it meant that Yaakov had now is taking the time to say to his son, and his grandchildren are standing there listening, and he's saying, God came to me and blessed me. So I think that what you have to understand about the story is that Yaakov is telling us that even though the bracha was originally given to Avram Avinu, right? The bracha was given to Avram Avinu, you will be this and you will be that and you will be big and you will be strong and you'll have a lot of progeny, right? That's the bracha to Yaakov Avinu. That bracha given to Yaakov Avinu was not simply inherited, but had to be earned in some way. In other words, that bracha, if it wasn't attached to somebody, to some event, something that happened, something that was done, it would disappear. It would disappear. So Yaakov is saying to Yosef, Yaakov is able to say, El Shaddai Nerai Lebeluz, U Beretz Kedami Yivarechoti. Yivarechoti means, even though God gave the bracha to Avram Avinu, my grandfather, I had to get the blessing on my own. I had to get it somehow. So Rashi says nothing, right? It's a pasuk dalet. That's why I read pasuk dalet before. By Yomei Lai, Hineni Mafricha Beiticha Vatatecha Lekal Amim. So there's that one bracha. The bracha of a lot of progeny, a lot of children, a lot of, you'll become a great nation. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, you're one person, but my bracha that I'm giving you is that you'll become a great nation, great in population, right? And the second bracha is, right, the second bracha, Unatati et haaretz hazot lizaracha acharecha achuzat olam. That somehow the land of Canaan will become the land that is associated with you, again, Avram Avinu, passed on to Yaakov, this double bracha. The double bracha is progeny and land of Canaan. You get both of these brachot. Rashi explains, Natatecha, you'll become the leader of many nations, of many people. Bisarani, God told me, Shatidim, let's say me many od kahal va'amim, that from me will come many communities, nations, Vava Pisha Mali, even though God has told me goy kahal goyim, right, nations, communities. Me amarli al goy amarli al binyamin kahal goyim arei shnayim levad binyamin v'shuv no lo nolad li ben. So he says goy kahal goyim. It's like a yeshiva kind of analysis. Goy kahal goyim. He says God has promised that I would be the head of many nations. There will be nations. But the only, that was when I had a son whose name was Binyamin. Remember Binyamin? Right? He was the last son born to Yaakov. That's Binyamin. Kahal Goyim, but in order to have a kahal of Goyim, like a large number of people, you have to have at least Shnayim besides Binyamin. Vishuv lo nolad lo ben. But he didn't have any other sons. Binyamin was the last son that Yaakov had. Lamdeini, so from this I learn, Shatid echad mishivtei lechalek. So from this I learn that there is a bracha within the bracha. The bracha was, Kahal Goyim, you'll have a lot of nations, right? the bracha in the bracha is that two of these nations will be Ephraim and Menashe, and that's what he says to Yosef. That's what Yaakov says to Yosef. Now this is a very important thing, but we have to wait a few minutes till we figure out why. Pasukei, Vatashne Banecha Noladim Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim. According to Rashi, it fits in. It's like Yaakov says to Yosef, you know, I didn't know what it meant at the time, but now I know what it means. I know that it means that that from the children that are born to one of my children, Yosef, they will also become nations. They will also become great, right? That's what Rashi says. V'atashnei banecha noladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bo'iye lecha Mitzrayima lihem. And so I figured it out, he says. And so the two sons that you had, one of whom was caught learning with his grandfather, somehow maintaining the traditions of the family. We don't know how that happened, but it seems to have happened according to Rashi. According to that, your two sons will become, as the Pasuk says, Lihem. They become my sons. Ephraim and Menashe, your sons become like Reuven and Shimon, my sons. This is an absolute amazing thing, because we know, according to Rashi, the way Rashi learned, that this is correct. That Yaakov was correct. I mean, how did Yaakov know it? How did Yaakov know he was supposed to adopt the two grandchildren? It was like sort of a strange idea. But Yaakov knew it because he learned the Pasuk. He learned the Pasuk. Which Pasuk? Goy ukahal goyim. It says in the Pasuk, Goy ukahal goyim. Goy, right? Ukahal goyim. So Binyamin will be born, and there will also be kahal goyim. So Yaakov figured out that kahal goyim meant the children of Yosef. The children of Yosef. That's what he said. Okay. Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvein v'Shimon lihem. Rashi and Pasuk Hey, Anoladim lechad bo'i elecha, lifnei bo'i elecha. Before I came here to Mitzrayim, Kolomar, shenoldu misheparashta mimeni, adche bati etzlecha. They were born somehow in between the time that you left, you Yosef. Left my house, you disappeared from the world until I came to Mitzrayim. So that's how I identified the people. And so, step one in this makeover, is to make Ephraim and Menashe, children of Yaakov. The children of Yaakov, we don't know why, but we know that that was the right thing to do, according to Rashi. The right thing to do, and so Yaakov did it, right? He did that. One more pasuk, and all the dim lecha ad bo yelecha the Rashi. Lifnei bo yelecha kloma shenoldu mishe parashta. I'm sorry, we read that. Lihem, you see Lihem? The rest of the Rashi. Becheshbon she'ar yiyu nichlalim. They'll be somehow... It's supposed to have 12 sons, remember? 12 shvatim. There'll still be 12 shvatim. Mm-hmm. How come there'll be 12 shvatim? We don't know yet. But we know ultimately that Levi was a kind of funny shevet. It had excess spiritual content and a lack of physical ownership of land. Right, which was itself a denial of the bracha of Abraham, but there's something also to think about. So Rashi says, Lihem becheshbon she'ar b'nai hem litol chelik ba'aretz ish kinegdo. Rashi doesn't relate to Levi at all. Okay, Pasuk Vav, the last Pasuk, Umoladeticha, the place from which you were born, Asher Holadetach Rehem Lecha Yiyu, Al Shem Acheihem Yikar'u Bin Nachalata, Moladeticha, the place where you were born, right? So Rashi says, Rashi explaining Yaakov, why does he add this idea of the place where you were born? So that will be yours. Im tolid od lo yiyu b'minyan banai ela betoch shiftei Ephraim u'Menashe yiyu nichlalim. If you have more children, Yosef, you have more children, then they will not become tribes. They won't be listed in the tribal list. They won't be tribes. And instead, they will be absorbed somehow into the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. I don't know how that happened, but we know. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, right? So Rashi says, "V'lo yehelahem shem b'shvatim linyana nachala." They won't have a separate case for the inheritance of the land of Canaan. Vava pishenit chalka haaretz leminyan gulgelotam kidichtiv. Even though we know when the land was, remember there was a pious. What's a pious?
A lottery,
right? So, you know, there was a lottery, and that's how it was divided up. So everybody got a piece, but everybody actually got a piece that was somehow equivalent to his to the amount of people in his family. So the fact that you are a descendant of Yosef, of Ephraim, or the children, other children of Yosef, didn't make any difference. You got all the same, everybody got the same amount. Same amount meaning the number of people in his family were given an allotment. So if you had a bigger family, you got more, and a smaller family, you got less. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter what tribe you belonged to, because you always got an amount that was equal to the size of your family. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi says, "V'lo yelem shem b'shvatim linyan nachala." They don't have a separate case for nachala. V'avo pishin itchalka ha'aretz l'minyan gulgelotam kidichtiv l'rav tarben nachalato v'kol ish v'ish latal b'shaveh chutz min ha'bechorot. He says everybody got the same amount except for the firstborn who got twice as much. Mikol makom lo nikru ushvatim ela elu, right? That only Ephraim and Menashe became tribes. So we're left with this very interesting story that Rashi has taught us, and the story is about ultimately about how Yaakov actually planned a special bracha for Ephraim and Menashe, and that special bracha is somehow connected to the fact that Ephraim and Menashe would become tribes, equal children of Yaakov. And why this is all happening is not perfectly clear to us. So if you look at the second source, and you have to remember Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, "Lech lecha, mi'atzecha, mo'adon ha'beit avicha, and then good things are going to happen to you. You listen to the divine command, and good things are happening to you." So the first pasuk is pasuk bet, perek yud bet, pasuk bet. Ve'ischa legoy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Va'gadla shmecha, and I will increase your name. Ve'yei bracha, and you will be a bracha. Now what is ve'yei? What is ve'yei bracha? What could that possibly mean? In Remember the Ye Bracha? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, you remember one of the interpretations that Rashi gives has something to do with Shmona Esrei. No? That we say, even though we say, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, but when we say the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, we say Magen Abraham. So Rashi says, Ve'ye Bracha means that when it comes to saying the Bracha, everybody, all the Jewish people, are going to say Magen Abraham. And not, even though the rule is that the Bracha should somehow contain the information of the paragraph. The paragraph says Avraham, Yisrael, and Yaakov. And the Bracha says Abraham. So here, in this Pasuk, Rashi says, well, that was a special dispensation that God gave to Abraham. And that's what V'yei Bracha, that's what V'yei Bracha means. So now there's another Pasuk, Breishit. Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Kavchet. You see the second Pasuk? Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shba'asrei shana. So you all know Yaakov lived 17 years in Eretz Mitzrayim, and those were the best 17 years of his life. That's why it says Vayechi Yaakov, Vayechi, he lived. He was really alive during those 17 years. But let's say why he was so alive. What was he so alive about? Mitzrayim shana vayhi yimei Yaakov shnei chayav shva sheva shanim v'abayim u'meyat shana. He lived all the years of his life, 147 years. Right? 17 years were the last 17 years of his life. And they were special. They were special years, Rashi says. You see the Rashi? Rashi says, Vayechi Yaakov, Lama, this is our parsha, in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm. We're now up to the parsha Vayechi. Rashi says, Lama parasha zo stuma. Stuma means stopped up. Like you put a cork in a bottle. That's satum. Stuffed up. Where is it stuffed up? Well, usually there's a break. You know, when you are reading from a Torah scroll, you know that the lettering in the scroll is worked out by paragraphs. Right? And usually, between the end of one parasha and the beginning of the next parasha, there's a paragraph, like a blank, right? But when it comes to the parasha of Vayigash and Vayechi, there's no paragraph divider. So Rashi asked that question, Lama parasha zostuma? How come there's no space? And the word that Rashi uses is satum. Satum, you know, in Israeli Hebrew, today, you know, if you say somebody, you want to say, you don't know what's going on, you say, satum. Hu satum. Hu lo mevin klum. That's regular Israeli Hebrew. So, lama parasha zo stuma. How come this parasha has something, some secret that we can't access? Because there's no space. And the spaces, Chazal say, the spaces in the Sefer Torah were made so that Moshe Rabbeinu should reflect upon what he was teaching B'nai Yisrael. But if there's no space, you can't reflect. You can't understand what's going on. So Rashi says, Lama parasha zo stuma. Lefi shekevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu died, nistemu einehem velibam shel Yisrael, einehem velibam, their eyes and their hearts became stopped up. They couldn't figure it out. Mitzarat hashi'abud, and all of a sudden they found themselves enslaved. They found themselves enslaved. Mitzarat hashi'abud shetchilu lishabdam. Right? That they started to enslave them. And the Jews, instead of running away, it's like a question. So how come they stayed? I mean, after all, they weren't slaves when they came to Mitzrayim, but they were slaves when they were in Mitzrayim. So how did that happen? How did it happen that the non-slaves became slaves? So Rashi offers an interesting idea. He says, when Yaakov Avinu died, they were unable to see, they were unable to feel with their hearts. So in other words, what Rashi is saying is, Yaakov had eyes, and Yaakov had a heart. What does that mean? He was able to look at the situation in Mitzrayim and say, it's bad. Let's get out of here. Let's not stay a day longer than we should, Yaakov. But according to Rashi, Yaakov died, and there was no one to take his place. So you know how it is. You know how it is, how people are. You say, how many times do you have to shoot somebody in New Jersey for the Jews to get nervous? Oh, a lot of times. I don't wish it upon them, but I'm saying it's very rare that people could make an honest evaluation about how things are going. Right? So according to Rashi, Yaakov had that job. That was Yaakov's position in Mitzrayim, and everybody knew it. And so when Yaakov died, they didn't get it. So the Egyptians came and said, look, we need a few guys to do work here, or we need guys to do work there. And they fell for it. They fell for it. And so Rashi says, Davar Acher. You know Rashi? Sometimes he gives two interpretations. Sometimes three interpretations, two interpretations, Rashi. I mean, there must be a reason. You know, there's got to be a reason for why Rashi gives more than one interpretation. It's a davar acher. Shebikesh legalot et haketz levanav v'nistam mimenu. Contrary to, it was commentary two, is the opposite of commentary A. The commentary A said that Yaakov Avinu understood and was able to maintain a balance for the rest of his family. They were not going to become slaves as long as he was around. But then he died, and they became slaves. Davar Acher, alternatively, Yaakov wanted to legalot et haketz. He wanted to tell them what would be. Exactly the same, the opposite of the first comment. Yaakov wanted to tell the children of Israel, his children, the children of Israel, what would be, how long they would have to suffer, how much time they would have to invest in whatever they were doing. But what happened? What happened? Davar Acher, Shebikesh Legalot Et Haketz Levanav V'Nistar Mimenu. He couldn't do it. Okay, another pasuk. Another pasuk. Breishit Perek Mem Hey Pasuk Tet Zayin. Right, Yaakov is blessing the children of Yosef, and he says, "Hamalach Hagoel Oti Mikol Ra Yivarechet HaNe'arim." This is a pasuk that became popular as the result of a tune. Right, which is a blessing for certain psukim. I can imagine the psukim up in heaven are vying for a good tune, you know, something that we could all connect to. No, I will not suggest that we should sing it now. But when you leave, as you leave, you could sing it. Amalach Hagoel Oti Mikol Ra. The Malach, right, you remember. When Yaakov left Eretz Canaan, there were Malachim Olim V'Yordim. And when he came back to Eretz Canaan, there were also the Machaneh of angels. HaMalach HaGoel Oti Mikol Ra Yivarech Et HaNe'arim. There it is. Yivarech et ha-na'arim. How did Yivarech et ha-na'arim come in? Because Yaakov said to Yosef, remember Yaakov said to Yosef, I've got to pass on the bracha, but there's got to be two of them. One is not good enough. So Ephraim and Manasseh are going to get in there, right? Hamalach ha-goel oti b'kol ra, the pasuk, Yivarech et ha-na'arim, V'yikare b'hem shmi v'shem avotai, Avraham v'yitzchak, they'll remember me, and the name of my father, Avraham, and Yitzchak, my grandfather, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they are kind of the source of the bracha. V'yidgu l'arov v'kerev ha'aretz, and this is a special bracha. Rashi says, Hamalach ha-goel oti. You see the Rashi? Malach haragil hishtaleach elai b'tzorati. There's a malach that comes and helps me out when I'm in trouble. Ginyan sheneemar vayomer elai malach ha-elokim b'chalom Yaakov v'chule. Anochi ha-el beit elav. There's a malach that comes, identifies himself, identifies and helps me out when I'm in trouble. Rashi continues, Yivarech et ha-na'arim, Menashe v'Ephraim, right? Menashe v'Ephraim. V'yidgu kidagim halalu, sheparim v'ravim, ve'ein ein hara sholetet b'hem. Okay, v'yidgu l'arov. They'll be like fish in the water. They have a lot of, they managed to produce a lot of progeny all at once. The last pasuk in this list of psukim is Bereshit Perek Bemtet Pasuk Aleph Vayikra Yaakov et banav vayomer Hayasfu vagidu lachem et ashe yikra etchem ve'acharit hayamim. So everything that happened up to here is about the, is in order that this pasuk should be accurate. In other words, before he called together all his children, he had to know who all his children were. So all his children, of course, include Ephraim and Manasseh. So he had to kind of promote them. He had to give them this promotion that they were supposed to get, Ephraim and Manasseh. Rashi says, "Vagidu lachem." Rashi says, interestingly, "Bikesh negalot et haketz." He wanted to reveal the end of things to them. V'nistalcha shchina mimenu. And he wasn't able to. V'itchil lomar dvarim acharim. In other words, in the previous pasuk, in the previous pasuk, Perek Memzayin pasuk Kavchet, Rashi says, "Lama nistima, lama parashazo nistuma, lefi shekevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu nista." Nistemu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzarot ashiyavud sheetchil l'shabdam. Right, davar cher shebikesh legalot et haketz levanav v'nistam imenu. So here it says bikesh legalot et haketz v'nistam imenu, and then in the last pasuk it says bikesh legalot et haketz v'nistalka shchinam imenu. V'itchil omer dvarim acherim. Why does he have to say it twice? So I guess that Yaakov thought that the reason that the first pasuk that says nistamam einav ve'libo, that he was not able to see clearly, he was not able to know what to tell his children, that pasuk in the beginning of the parasha of Vayechi was before he elevated his grandsons to the level of sons. And so he may have thought, Yaakov, that there's unfinished business. I mean, the reason that God is not allowing him to see the future, to understand what's going to be, to have clarity that he could pass on to his children, because he has not yet given Ephraim and Manasseh their due. And so even after he gives Ephraim and Manasseh what they deserve, the pasuk again says, no, he still couldn't do it. There still could not be clarity, which says something about the way we live. Right? We live with a certain lack of clarity. We would like to know exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to be. You know, people like to talk about whatever reality they're in as though they understand it perfectly. Right? This is this Gemara, or this is this pasuk, and not some other part. But really, we don't know. Really, we don't know. We can think in those terms, but we can't say that we actually know. So I wanted to tell you something that the Svat Emet said. Svat Emet, you remember, is the second Ger Rebbe. Second Ger Rebbe. The first Ger Rebbe was the Chiddush Yorim. The first Ger Rebbe was the Chiddush Yorim. His son died while his father was still the Rebbe, and his grandson became the Rebbe, right? That was, and his book, he called himself the Svat Emet, right? So you know that the Rebbeim of Ger had a name, had a family name, which was Rottenberg, of course. But they changed it to Alter. It was the name of the mother of the Svat Emet. The mother's family was Alter, and because the Russian government, you know, they were always after the Rebbes. I mean, they were right. I mean, the reason they were generally the reason that they were not happy with the Rebbe's work because the Rebbe smuggled money. It doesn't sound so good, does it? They smuggled money. What do I mean they smuggled money? They used to collect money, charity, that they sent mostly to Eretz Yisrael, right? Because the people of Eretz Yisrael didn't have many options about raising money for themselves. And certainly working was not one of the options. So they would catch the Rebbes holding money, and because they were trustworthy by the people who gave the money, and sometimes they would arrest them. That's what happened to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, was arrested and put into jail because of this. So anyway, in any event, that's the Svat Emet. The Svat Emet became popular. His commentary on the Chumash became very popular in recent years, more popular than any ever before, and everybody learns it. The new edition of the Svat Emet was published by a Dati Leumi community in
Or Etzion.
Yeah, Or Etzion. You know Or Etzion? So they put out the Svat Emet in a more readable, pleasant kind of edition, so that, you know, their sales in the direction of Dati Leumi, and so everybody learns the Svat Emet. So here, look at the Svat Emet. It's at the bottom four lines. He says, "Vatash Nebanecha," right? That Ephraim and Menashe will be like my two sons. "Vatahu Hamshachat Derech Hadash." The Svat Emet says, "I identify something new, something I didn't know before." And he says, "Lachein Ita Vata." Lachein Ita Vata is what it says. The Vata Shnei Banecha. Well, why do you have to say Ata? Now, I mean, you could leave it out. You could leave that pasuk, that word out of the pasuk, and you get the same pasuk. He says Derech Hadash, Lachein Ita Vata, Lashon Tshuva. He says he has certain sources that say the word Vata, and now, it'll happen now. It'll happen right away. Is related to the notion of doing Tshuva. Lefi shebal tshuva tzarich lamshich derech hadash letaken ma shekelkel. He says, contrary to what people generally think, that you do tshuva, like you go to shul on Yom Kippur, and then when Yom Kippur ends, you start eating like crazy. No. He says, the kilkul, the thing that is messed up in the world as a result of what you did, you have to fix. You have to fix it. You can't say, I did tshuva. Even if you did do tshuva, if you did tshuva and you were really very sincere, but if you left behind, the whole trail of unreasonable activity, like even just people talk Lashon Hara. And then they do tshuva. So you think the Lashon Hara stops hovering around, that it disappears from the world? Doesn't disappear. It's there. So that your obligation as a Baal tshuva is to wipe out that hovering aveira of the tshuva. He says, "L'takein masha kilkel." You have to fix it. V'chein asak han Yaakov derech hadash, and Yaakov created a new way, derech hadash. Ve'ala b'nei Yosef, he raised the sons of Yosef to a higher level. Liot lem dveikut ba'avot, in order that they should cleave to the fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Kivo shekatuv in the pasuk, vayikra bahem shmi v'shem avotai. Bahem meaning Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe will be like me. They'll be like their fathers. Avot molade techa bechulei. Al shem acheihem yikaru moladeticha. Right? The ones who were born afterwards, after Ephraim and Manasseh, al shem acheihem yikaru, they will be called by the names of their brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh. Shedveikut ashiva nefesh ube ayud bet shvatim. In other words, what makes it possible for the people who went out to Mitzrayim, the 70 people who went down to Mitzrayim, behayud beit shvatim, it's only because they're part of a shevet that enables them to do real tshuva. Behayud beit shvatim dveikim b'madregat ha'avot, and the yud beit shvatim, according to the pasuk, they're somehow connected to the level of the fathers Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Elad, Menashe, Ephraim, Metoah, Shvatim. And Ephraim and Menashe become part of the Shvatim. They're also Shvatim. V'Yosef, who Allah lemala mimadregat Shvatim, k'mo shekatum shkem echad al achecha. That's a pasuk that we didn't learn, but he says, if the sons of Yosef are Shvatim, so what happens with Yosef? So Yosef is even higher. He becomes one of the avot, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That's one of the versions of the Ushpizin. Mm-hmm. Right? One of the versions of the Ushpizin comes from the Zohar, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. Right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, because Yosef kind of was elevated to the level, he was taken out of being a shevet, a tribe, but he became one of the avot. He became one of the avot. So what is it that the Sfat Emet helps us with? That what's going on is the idea that for Am Yisrael to be Am Yisrael, they have to recognize their obligation to tshuva. And recognizing their obligation to tshuva can actually elevate their spiritual level from a son of Yosef to a shevet to an av. That can really happen. And so Yaakov Avinu wanted to make sure that the people, his children, his grandchildren, all understood that in order to do tshuva, there has to be a tikkun. And that explains also why the Chumash says certain nice things about Yishmael and Esav. They showed up for the funeral of their fathers, Yishmael and Esav. But so they had some notion of tshuva, but they didn't have this idea of tikkun. We never hear of the other nations who do tshuva one kind or another. We don't hear that they have a reason to fix whatever they did and messed up during their lifetimes. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Whoever's going to America tonight, have a good trip. Tonight? You going tonight? Yeah. Have a good trip. Don't bother the plane. The plane goes by itself. It's definitely a likable too.